The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, deputy editor at MoneyWeb, and on this weekly show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic real estate sector. I've covered the property and tourism industry for over two decades now, and as mentioned a few times on the pod this month, with it being September, it's Tourism Month in South Africa. It's also Heritage Month, and with the public holiday this week, we are coming to you a little later with the podcast, which usually comes out on a Tuesday. It's a big year for tourism in SA, with Johannesburg hosting the big G20 Leaders Summit in November. Some say this is the most high-profile event since SA hosted the World Cup in 2010. But despite the issues at SA Tourism, the industry, the private sector that is going about what they do best. And today on the podcast, we have Marcel van Ollock, the CEO of JSE-listed Southern Sun Limited, the biggest hotel owner and operator in South Africa, chatting to us now about the latest developments in the group. We will also ask him his views on some of the big industry issues as well as prospects ahead. So, very well, welcome to the Property Pod.
Morning, sir.
We last spoke to you around this time last year, but a lot has been going on in the group. What can you share with us? Any breaking news, or are you going to update us on some of the developments that you've highlighted recently, particularly in the coastal cities of Durban, Umhlanga and Cape Town?
Yeah, so we've been pretty busy on development side. I think the fundamental change over the past year was we had clearly recovered from any COVID trading sort of related. I mean, South Africa hasn't fully recovered. Tourism numbers are not back where they were. But we as a group were strongly cash positive, and we were debt-free effectively by the end of last financial year, which is March. So you got to look then forward and say, well, your core organic growth is going to come from, I guess, doing your business properly. We're spending a lot on renovations. So we've had a number of hotels we're doing. And you're seeing that a little bit in the group where people are, I think just because new build cost is so high, it seems more economical, a better idea to put a lot of money into your existing properties and get what you can out of them. But ultimately, you are going to reach a stage where you have to build new properties. So we've been working on that. There's not a lot of markets in South Africa that would justify new build. Even Cape Town, which has been the booming market over the last 3 years and done particularly well, is, I would say, probably close to in balance as opposed to in short supply.
What do you mean by that?
So it's kind of caught up with all the supply that went into Cape Town, and it is running where it should be, where you can generate reasonable returns on what you've invested into the product. Hotel industries are ever never really in balance. It's either an oversupply or undersupply. So I'm pretty sure a whole lot of new stock will come into Cape Town in the next 5 years or so. But it is expensive to build, and it's complicated to get site, and we'll be part of that. But at the moment, you're getting the sort of rates that you should be getting in South Africa year round. You're getting the volumes are a year round about a high 60s, which is where you want to, where hotel industry should be, whereas most of the industry is nowhere near that. You're sitting in the rest of the country probably mid to low 60s. You saw City Lodge's numbers were 56. Our overall occupancy in the last 12 months is sitting around 61 or so. So it's a good hotel market, but it barely just become that. Nonetheless, people are going to build new hotels. I'll talk about some of the ones we want to do. And the other areas in Umhlanga where we in particular are short of stock. And so we're in the process of a transaction there for which will be the second hotel on the Oceans Mall, which has got a Radisson on the end of it. It's got a residential block, and there's a third hotel, a third tower going up, and we're going to co-invest in that and operate that. So there are certain particular nodes we'll be looking to expand. Cape Town's obviously the other important node for us. We have that land outside the Cullinan Hotel opposite the CTICC. And it's interesting, that node is largely owned between Growthpoint and ourselves. We own the Western, the Cullinan, the waterfront, the land outside the Cullinan. They own, I think it's the Department of Education building, the 91 building, the Site B development site behind it. So we've been doing some work with them. We think, and it's a particular Growthpoint initiative, they're very good at this. So create a precinct. If you just think of like your own neighborhood, like where does a neighborhood look wonderful? It looks wonderful when everyone does their pavement and you all cooperate on public space. We said, look, we've got to create a good precinct here, but it's unusual that between two of us, we have so much exposure to an area. And it's a very important area for Cape Town, because that CTICC is a massive driver of international awareness of business travel to SA. That node is very key and it links into the waterfront, which is also a 50% growth point owned. So we're working with them on a project down there. We've got a site, they've got a site. We want to put hotels on both, but also mixed use. So there'll be residential, there'll be retail. I think it's going to be a very exciting development because if you get everyone to cooperate, you can do wonderful things with pedestrianization, with security in the area, with just art and design and so on, so that it's not just I build my building and I don't care what happens on your pavement. So there's some great initiatives coming around, but it's expensive to build. So they're going to take a while.
So you've given a little bit away. Yeah, I didn't expect you to mention Growth Point specifically, but Southern Sun has, as you say, that site, prime site, next to the Cullinan and across the road from the Western, which coincidentally the group also owns, you know, via its old IHS acquisition a few years ago. So what are you saying? Are you saying that you might be involved as a hotel operator on perhaps site B? Because I know you've been quite vocal in the past about trying to get into the V&A, but the V&A bosses want international brands.
V&A bosses are changing. We remain hopeful. we're definitely looking at site B and our site together with Growthpoint to say, well, what is the right thing for this whole node? Because we've already got so much exposure in that node, we want to make sure that all that public area space works together and you create this precinct thing. And I think between Growthpoint and ourselves, we could do some pretty iconic developments. That is the tall area, building area of Cape Town. So it's likely to be skyscraper type stuff, which are very expensive. So you could see in the region of 5 or 6 billion rand going into those two sites over the next few years. And, you know, certainly not something we could do on our own. Growth Point's big enough, but I don't think they want single site exposure. So if we partner with them, I think we can create something really exciting there. What that will end up being is what we're working on at the moment. What sort of grade hotels do you do? What complements existing product? Can you bring residential into it? There's definitely demand for offices in Cape Town that we haven't seen in the rest of the country. So it's a bit of a financial district developing. So your banks and your institutions are very keen on it. And it's, I guess, at the moment, one of the few really walkable downtown functioning city places in South Africa. And very important to us because that CTIC drives so much business.
No doubt the CCID, that's the Central Improvement District, brought out their report recently and highlighted some of that. And a lot of that development is historical. So I'm sure they'll be excited to hear what you are saying, potentially a joint venture with Growthpoint as well as developing your own site. Now, I have to ask this. I know I asked you off the record. Now it's on the record. Cape Town ICC, you already own the hotel or the lease there for the Western. Would the group consider buying that since there's been talk, and that is talk, about the Cape Town ICC potentially being up for sale?
Look, it's absolutely core to our business. I'd say this up front. So the City of Cape Town is starting a public participation process as to whether they should sell it or not. So they haven't put it up for sale. I think people underestimate how important that CTICC is to the success that Cape Town's been. Yes, it's been a well-governed city and they've done a lot of good. Yes, the V&A has been a spectacular development and they've really done well in sort of creating a great tourist destination. But the heart of, so we say, big money, big investment potential visitors coming into Cape Town have gone through that CTICC. It's hosted some absolutely world-class event and that kind of catalyst is so important to a city like Cape Town, because there are many places in the world that have a nice harbour and have a nice tourist attraction and so on. And that CTICC has really put Cape Town on the map over the last 20 years. I don't know whether it makes any money or not. I mean, I would doubt very much that the City of Cape Town is looking to unload an exceptionally profitable type of operation. But outside of the economics of the thing, it is very important who runs that in the end. Because if that ends up in the wrong hands, the amount of damage that can do to Cape Town is substantial. So when they launch this process, our inputs would be definitely be very careful who you decide to privatize this to. It's obviously a core business of ours. I mean, we run the Sandton ICC in Sandton, the Sandton Convention Center. We've got a lot of group and convention business. And down there, we have 1,500 bedrooms that would have a very, very hard time if the CTICC stopped functioning. And I certainly don't think anybody has in their mind that they want anything to stop functioning. It's just people don't quite, everyone understands the beauty of Cape Town and the tourism potential and so on. One of the biggest catalysts it has is a successful CTICC.
People,
and the exact opposite of that is what we've seen in Durban, where the Convention Bureau was moved out and they've battled. They're trying to get the Convention Bureau back to the ICC. So it is a critical asset there.
Sorry to interject there. I was just going to ask, because people underestimate, people think hotels is just about leisure tourism. Obviously, the industry talks about business tourism, but you have highlighted that before about people can easily criticize Durban, for example, with the challenges on the beachfront and the water issues and infrastructure following the floods. But a large part of the business, even in Durban, is business tourism. And while Cape Town has boomed, yes, a few years ago, the Durban ICCCO moved there, and there's a lot of people that have moved to Cape Town, believe it or not, in that MIS business space. But Cape Town certainly has surged, considering 20 years ago, the first major ICC in South Africa was the ICC, opened, interestingly enough, by Nelson Mandela. And you've complained that they haven't got their act together in terms of getting big events and even local major conferences back in terms of business to keep you going during outside the leisure times in KZN.
In Durban, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the people that run the ICC in Durban know what they're doing. They've got a very good ICC. They know how to run a convention center. It's the sales and marketing process that goes and gets you those events 3, 4, 5 years out. And there was a situation where they moved the convention bureau out of the control of the ICC and gave it a mandate that it has to look at the broader KZN, which is politically sounds nice, doesn't get you visitors. You need someone focusing on filling your convention center. And it's interesting. You take Durban, I mean, in the last year, it has had exactly 10 days where the beaches have been closed. Media goes dead quiet about that. It's not a beach problem. The beachfront is gorgeous. The city has done a spectacular job of putting a lot of resources into security and cleanup. They've got a long way to go because there's years of neglect, but they're getting that right. But ultimately, that's not going to drive the volumes that put Durban back on the map. It's big conventions that go through the ICC, and they've got the facility. You don't have to go and build a new 2 billion rand convention center. These things are absolute catalysts. Cities don't function without business travel. The leisure will come. There's particularly Durban's got a strong local following market, etc. But if you really want to grow, you've got to get that business tourism in. And groups and conventions are the heartblood of that, getting that business going.
You talked about Cape Town quite a bit, and now we went to Durban. But just an update on the Oceans Umhlanga, just for those that might have not read the story that MoneyWeb broke a few months ago, partnership with Vivian Reddy's development there. You talk about investing equity, and I know Reddy was keen to get somebody to invest equity because while the international brands get a lot of traction or coverage, most international brands don't invest. I know you can't share too much, but if it had been a sole build from Southern Sun, maybe you want to give us kind of a value there because much of the infrastructure is coming already from the investors in Oceans. But if you had to build a building from scratch.
It's a big building. So what the developers are putting up there, Vivian and his partners, on is a 1.3, I think, billion rand building. But it's got a number of components to it. It's got a hotel, about 200 keys or so. It's got a set of service departments, which will be operated by the hotel, look and feel like the hotel, but we will manage them. And then it's got a set of residential apartments that they're going to sell off. People can live, do their own thing. So it's a big building. We will co-invest in the hotel portion, which is our core game. So we take a minority equity stake in that, and we manage the hotel and the service department part, and overall that tower building, and that will be branded Southern Sun. So that's our co-investment. It's not enormous for us because there's some debt financing into the structure. So it's about 120 million rand check, I think, for us. But ultimately, we've done pretty well over the years of co-investing, and you end up, because we do own, currently we own 80% of our real estate, you end up being the exit option for other investors. So if they want to stay in forever, that's cool. At some point they want to get out, we tend to buy them up. You know, over the years we bought up, for example, my predecessors had built up a big managed portfolio with Liberty, which was about 10 or 12 hotels. We bought all those hotels about 10 years ago, barring the ones in Sandton. And a couple of examples of where Hyde Park was one we ran and then bought it from Hyprop and so on. So we do co-invest. And I guess it comes back to a Southern Sun strategy we're focusing on the moment, which talks to the growth point potential in Cape Town. Vivian here, Parita, looking at a potential transaction in Bloemfontein, is that we need partners. Your new build cost is expensive. It's large equity checks if you want to be in the real estate. And as we're the biggest hotel group by far, but still a relatively small company. We only have a market cap of 12 billion, and we produce about a billion a year in cash. That's not going to go too far if you're knocking up buildings that cost 2-3 billion at a time. So you've got to have partners in the thing. And they bring along both expertise and access to sites and so on. Mm-hmm. So we're quite happy to pursue that partnership role going forward. And I think it is the only way you can really grow meaningfully here. I mean, the internationals make a lot of noise about what they sign up, etc. But let's face it, that's why Marriott bought Protea. It wasn't getting any traction just running around trying to sign contracts. It had to buy a group that had spent 30 years building itself up. It's hard just being a service salesman.
Thanks for that insight. Marcel, I have to ask, now you tipping your toes, first project potentially with Oceans into the service department. Does that mean it's going to be expanded nationally? Because it's quite a big thing in Cape Town and you have quite a big stock there. You know, you look at the Garden Court waterfront, that's quite a big hotel that's right next door to the Cullinan.
Yeah, so we've got a, I mean, we do have a lot of stock in Cape Town. We've got 3,000 rooms in Cape Town City itself. This apartment model is an interesting one. It has a certain market to it, particularly the family leisure and so on. You know, I mean, all of you and the concept of having a small kitchenette and a little bit of laundry services and all that sort of thing appeals. A lot of the stuff that was built came under that Section 12J tax incentive where people were effectively turning their speculative property investment into tax deduction. That's all closed down. So you're not getting the flurry of excitement that brought that through. But there is still a market for this. And globally, you see the branded residences, particularly in the higher end hotel brands, your Four Seasons and that sort of thing, do particularly well. And I think we could definitely play in that space. It's not going to be something that takes us from 17,000 rooms to 37,000 rooms. But as I said, these two sites in Cape Town that we're looking at with Growthpoint are going to be very big buildings, and you can't just go and put 1,000 hotel rooms in it. So you do a combination of residential where people will go and live. You can do the service department model like we're doing with Oceans now, and conventional hotel model because you've got massive amounts of bulk you're putting in there, and offices and. So I do think it's something that we want to expand in. I think it's a nice brand extension for Southern Sun. But with all these things, these are 3 to 5 year plans, and we'll see where they go. Certainly something we're keen on.
Now, another project before the group was unbundled and separately listed as Southern Sun Limited has been on the cards for almost 10 years. The Beverly Hills, where is that plan sitting at the moment? And the reason I ask, suddenly you have the Oceans Umhlanga project. Is that kind of a backup to have rooms available while the Beverly Hills is expanded? And then there has been some talk, because it's the iconic Beverly Hills, being Saul Kirzner's first hotel, five-star hotel in South Africa, it's over 60 years or so old, potentially bringing an international brand to get more money out, or will Southern Sun continue to run that once the revamp happens?
But I promise you that wasn't mine. There's absolutely zero chance of an international brand getting their hands on that as long as I'm alive. No chance. No, I mean, Beverly Hills is a brand as strong as any international could try and play in this market anyway. So there's zero chance of that. Beverly Hills is an iconic property. We have worked quite a lot in getting the land issue sorted out. So we own all the land from the Beverly Hills up to the Pearls, and that's where that path that goes down to the pier, the Whalebone Pier. So we had to get, and there we needed to do some land swaps with the city, because what happened was we owned a piece, then they owned a piece, then we owned a piece. We had got all that sorted out, got all our rights in place, etc., and a lot of design work. I think, as I said several times in this interview, the biggest problem with new build is it's very, very expensive. So we're currently looking at a spend there of about 950 million, for which is a complete redo of the hotel and an expansion. So it would go from 89 keys to 177 keys. It would have full resort style swimming pools, some additional public spaces, expanded food and beverage. I mean, a very, very sexy product that would come in there. But you're looking at north of 5 million a key by the time you spent it. So in us, and we wholly own it, and it would be completely controlled by us. It's just one of those where, in the priority of cash flow, whether I delay it a year or two is not going to make too much difference to anybody, but we are ultimately going to do it. As you said, it's a 60-year-old building. It is an iconic location. It's one of those other places like the V&A in Cape Town where I think you can definitely justify a new build of that scale and that quality. We are working away with it. Our building plans are in with the city for approval and that sort of thing. When we actually push the button, I've just got to prioritize how we spend our money. Go back to, we're biggest in the hotel group, but that's still a relatively small company. So which check flows first? We've also got shareholders who want a dividend. We've been buying back our own shares, which is not what you normally do if you're going in a big expansion program, but we do see ourselves still as undervalued. So we've got to prioritize all those cash flows and make sure we've got capacity for everything. But the design work continues on Beverly Hills, and I think it is going to be a pretty magnificent product.
Timeline on that? Just on the share price, last year's headline was the surge in the share price, so you still see value there. But back to the Beverly Hills, when is that going to happen? And have we seen visuals? The visuals that we've seen are not the ones that are going to be in terms of the new plan.
No, they are pretty much the same. So there's refinement of you know, how many floors up you go, how much public space do you have. Conferencing, for example, very expensive to build. And I don't think it's a destination that warrants a 500-seater banquet facility or something. I just think it is inherently smaller. Yes, you could do weddings and that sort of thing, which would be very popular, but it's not up the heart and soul of that hotel. So those type of decisions come in and out of the plans. Certainly the base architectural theme of continuing what Sol built, which is the second curved building, is absolutely what we're going for. I can't give you a firm timeline, but if I could produce in the next 5 years, and I don't know in which order, but in the next 5 years, if we could firm up on what we're developing and build in Cape Town, if we could do Oceans and Beverly Hills I think we could do all of that out of our existing free cash, plus keep our dividend policy in place and have enough capacity for buybacks and or acquisitions that come along. But that assumes that trading keeps where it is and hopefully grows a bit. We've come off 3 years of very strong growth in Cape Town. I don't know how much more rate growth in particular there is there. And we're still sitting on a pretty weak South African economy. SA tourism is a bit dysfunctional, as you know, so there's a lot of, nobody's boosting and growing this tourism industry properly other than the private sector. So there are a lot of uncertainties on it. But our master plan is exactly that. These are key developments we've identified, 3 to 5 year build-out program, and manage our cash flows as we go along and hope we don't face any big industry traumas, but we'll deal with those if those come along.
You mentioned SA tourism. We'll get to that in a sec, but what about the rest of the country? There's been a lot of, we've written stories as well about, you know, not as much development in Sandton. Is there potential for developments in Gauteng and Johannesburg, or is it still oversupplied and you're focusing more on revamping properties? I know your partners, the owners of the hotels around Sandton City have spent quite a bit of money there.
Yeah, so we've been pushing that. We had the towers refurb just done now. Like Sandton is definitely overbooked, probably is what Cape Town's going to end up in a couple of years if all the announced plans happen. So I would be very surprised if someone comes along with grand plans to build massive stock in Cape Town. And there's even some distressed stock around that had been for sale for a while, no buyers into it. All that said, our fastest growing segment this year is Sandton. But that's coming off a low base. It was the last to recover out of COVID. It's boosted by the G20 and definitely an uptick in general business travel, which is the heart of what Sandton requires. And Sandton needs Joburg to not come right as much as just stop destroying itself. So, I mean, Joburg's reputation's in tatters. I live here and I'm not going anywhere else. I'm very happy here. Like, you can see the decay, and that does need to turn around. And ultimately, that will, just like it has in Cape Town, start driving new business. And I think Sandton's fine. I don't see new stock coming in yet. And Joburg's also, people underestimate just the overall size of it. Cape Town's sexy, but it's pretty small. When you talk Joburg, it's Sandton, it's Rosebank, it's the airport node. It carries all the way on to Midrand, Pretoria. You know, the greater economic zone that is Gauteng is just enormous, and it's several sub-nodes within it, all of which have their own dynamic. There's been new build has been focused on that waterfall area, which I don't have any insight into. We're not operating there, and certainly the mainland area of Pretoria in the last couple of years. Sandton got a big boost post-2010. There was a sort of property boom. You've got all the office skyscrapers. I think it's got plenty of supply, and we're focusing on just the quality of it and trying to get the room rates up. Our lowest room rates are Sandton versus, it goes Cape Town, then Durban, then Sandton. So it's got some way to go before it catches up rates.
I was going to ask about SA tourism, but I'll leave that for last. G20, how important is that? I mentioned that in my intro, but how important is it for the tourism industry? And also, you know, you talk about Sandton and put some context here, because I quoted you on a results a year or so ago where you said, and I quote, Sandton Joburg needs the G20 summit more than Cape Town. And you probably didn't make the Cape Town mayor too happy. But just some insight into explaining that, because Cape Town is busy anyway.
So the G20 has been good for us the whole year because it happens all over the place. I mean, we've got stuff from Arabella to Mombela in Nelspruit, being a countrywide. There's about 100 events over the course of the year that culminates in the big event. So G20 has been an important factor. I mean, there's always an important factor. So there's a big sporting event, there's G20, there's something. Every year has something. But this is a big thing. We're not entirely sure what the November event is going to be like. Our understanding is it's NASREC. It seems to be the firming up on that. But that doesn't really affect us because there's no accommodation out there. So all the delegates and so on are going to stay in Joburg and Sandton and that sort of thing. So it's big for us. We're still holding a lot of rooms, and there's a lot of uncertainty in the organization. Durpo's got to manage their planning. And I get it, those sort of delegates move all the time. But it will be big, and Sandton will be full. Whether Trump comes or Putin comes, I have no idea how all that works. But it's a big event. And where it's important is that it puts eyes back on a country. It's exactly what I was saying about that CTICC in Cape Town. You are not going to get a lot of global influential people like this to come out here just on holiday. There's a lot of people who see South Africa for the first time and see South Africa with new eyes. And that's important for Joburg. It's important for Sandton. And you can really see there's probably too little too late scurry around to try and make sure streetlights are fixed and crash barriers on the highways are fixed. And these events do force otherwise lazy governments to get on with it and fix infrastructure and make the place look like it should look. So that's why it's important for Joburg too. It's a catalyst to get movement going here. Cape Town doesn't need that. The government there is doing a good job of keeping the infrastructure maintained and looked after. Joburg needed this catalyst. Whether it's been enough or not, I don't know. But we have seen a lot of certainly streetlight fixing and that sort of stuff around.
So you have talked about local government issues in previous results and the issues that you face, property companies as well. But turning to SA Tourism now, the latest debacle dissolved board, but it has been problematic for the last 3 years, if not more. It's had board issues and instability from a leadership perspective. The likes of SATSA and the Tourism Business Council have raised concerns, but what is the position of SA's largest hotel group? You're probably one of the biggest contributors to the hotel levy.
We are. It is just frustrating beyond belief. So without getting into the personalities and the reasons and the, because I actually don't follow. I mean, we've got representatives on the SA Tourism Board, one of which was dissolved now. We've got representatives on TBCSA. We work very closely with SATSA. We are one of the biggest, if not the biggest collector of SA Tourism levies, which is that 1% voluntary fund that the industry does. I don't understand why they cannot get this right. You know, this is just a matter of appointing competent people. And you just need a minister who cares enough to want it to work. And you need competent people within the organization to make it work. And it's a disgrace that they haven't got it right. SA Tourism has a job to market this country properly globally. And that's not putting silly ads on CNN. It's getting your distribution right. It's getting representatives at the global trade shows. You know, we have a team, not a big team, but they go to Las Vegas, they go to Berlin, they go to all the big trade shows, and that's why the convention center is full 3 years out. That's where we build these groups and these relationships over time. But you can't just do that as a single company. All of us running around as individual companies trying to make something happen. That's the job of SA Tourism. And TBCSA, under Schiff's leadership, are stepping into the role, but how long before the politicians tackle them on? This just needs to be sorted out. It's one of another one of those great examples. If you ran a company, the way they're running this, we'd be completely bankrupt and looking for a government handout. It just needs to get sorted out.
Thanks for that. Would you support, you know, some calls? I think Opa Pilani from SATSA, the president or chair there, said that TBSA must take away that levy funding to SA Tourism. Would you support that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the levy funding, it absolutely needs to be spent properly and not wasted. So yes, you don't just write the check if you know it's going to go into a totally defunct organization who doesn't know what they're doing with it. But that's a short-term measure. You know, that's saying, look, you're incapable of looking after this money. Now we're going to keep it until you are. Ultimately, if you've pushed that too long, government's going to turn around and say, right, we'll just make a tax and work their way through National Treasury. Mm-hmm. It'll take them 10 years to get it done and then still waste the money. You know, there is so much wastage in government. Just, and it goes back to, we're a wealthy country. We should not be complaining about lack of resources. We just spend it badly. So that's a short-term reaction to a current crisis. You need to get past the current crisis and sort this thing out to be a long-term growth driver of South Africa. Mm. And there's so many good international examples of where it's worked that we don't even have to reinvent the wheel yet. We just need competent people to do it.
Talking about competent people, and I'm trying not to be political here, but you have
you haven't
hardly mentioned the Minister of Tourism in media briefings, in results briefings, but you have mentioned another minister, Leon Schreiber. He's done pretty well on that visa front, and it's not all bad news from a government perspective.
No, it's not all bad. So Home Affairs have definitely had a complete 180 degree attitude change towards tourism. You know, Home Affairs was in this world where we will block anyone anywhere coming in anytime. That was just fundamentally wrong for the country. That we've seen a fantastic turnaround. Clearing the backlog, they've got this just a tour operator program in place. With all of these things, you know, like someone described it to me, hotels like a dam. You've got to have 100 pipes running into that dam to fill it up. And you don't need blockages in international visitors. You don't need troubles with SA business travel. You don't need regulatory blockages on approvals and things like that. So there was a bad area that's come good. The other one I mentioned just now was the city of Durban, the amount of work that's happened there to fix infrastructure, tackle perceptions of crime and real crime, just deal with issues one at a time. And the media doesn't give Durban enough credit for substantial progress that they've made. Long way to go, but they've made a lot of progress. So there are pockets within government where things just work. SA Tourism is not one of them at the moment.
Thanks for that, Marcel. I appreciate your time on the podcast. We probably could chat for another hour, but I'll have to leave it there because I believe you need to catch a flight. But that was Marcel van Olyck, the CEO of JSE-listed hotels and leisure giant Southern Sun Limited.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.